Welcome to another episode of Fresh Pharaoh Entertainment. We're your host. I'm Horace the Pharaoh.
It's the God, Don the Ascended.
And your boy, Ra the God, back at you another banger for the people. Yes, sir.
And today we continue on our Law of Tahuti miniseries, right? As you know, there's seven laws of Tahuti of the universe. And we did our first one, which was the law of mentalism. And today we're going down to the next level, which is the law of correspondence. You dig?
It's something we've talked about many times in the past.
For sure. When we talk about duality, as above, so below, this is that concept in its entirety. Instead of just making references to it, we're going to explain what it means on a universal scale and on the level in your mind, which we still have done plenty of times, but to dedicate an episode to it feels more special and more concrete to the subject. You feel me?
Facts.
That's the thing about these laws. They all work on both the physical, mental, and spiritual plane. So it's like, it's application at this point. So,
Go ahead.
I was about to say, I think, you know, even when we're talking about subjects that weren't necessarily spiritual, you know, inherently, this law has come up just looking at it, you know, from a different perspective. So its applications is worldwide, but it's literally go for everything.
So, and when we say the principle correspondence, we're referring specifically to the term known as above, so below, which is an ancient Egyptian proverb, right? And this principle embodies the truth that there's a correspondence between the laws and phenomena on both planes, being, you know, the on beings of life in general in the universe, that on these two planes, universal and on the molecular, as above, so below. So anything you experience or do on the level on this planet is being replicated at that same moment in the vast infinite universe. You feel me?
Right.
And we see this so many times in images, right? It's probably the easiest way to understand it is to show people. So, for example, the fact that the way when you zooming in on a microscope is the same way it looks when you zooming in through a CGI picture of the universe, or your cells, you have billions of cells that are dividing every day, is no different than the billions of stars growing every day in the universe. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like those pictures where they'll zoom in on somebody's eye. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, oh, it looked like a nebula that's out in the galaxy. It's like, yo, that's kind of nuts when you think about it.
Or the inside of a carrot.
Exactly. But I know y'all remember, it was one day we was talking something about the Earth, and we were talking about, look at what the Earth does, just like the human body, right? And so we were talking about how the human body fights off infections. And when it's fighting off its infections, it overheats, right? We call that a fever. And then we were looking at Earth. Matter of fact, we was talking about global warming that day, wasn't we?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yes, sir.
And so it's crazy, bro. It's literally everything without is also within, man.
And I think you can use it to explain so much of phenomena that we're seeing, like we can't explain. Because, just bring you to global warming real quick and related to the law of correspondence. You know, you ask someone what causes global warming, they really don't give, they just say fossil fuels, no real concrete answer. But if you want to think about it, you're destroying the Earth, right? Let's just keep it $150.
Okay.
And when a human body gets very hot, right? As I said, you're going to get a fever. Your body can't fight off the infection. Therefore, for the Earth to be global warming, using this same law, it's undergoing a fever, and that infection would be the human race, right? You feel what I'm saying? And
exactly.
And then if you want to take it further, look, like you said, molecularly, when your cells and your immune system fighting and they dying, you know what I'm saying? You're getting sick on the inside. Same thing.
Yeah.
Even if you look at atoms, right? How atoms become unstable when they have like too many neutrons. You know what I'm saying? Right. And they get radioactive and all types of nonsense forms for that. This is a very basic principle that you
can find like
every level of your being and of existence itself. Everything operates on this law. Nothing is or is without at the same time.
Back to what you're saying, it reminds me of it was that one scene from Geostorm. It was asking about, oh snap, the world's going crazy. What's happening? Well, you see, the Earth thought it was a living thing. Either you have two ways. Either or host kills infection. So that's right. What I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Yeah, man. It's like we are on a path that really is a lose-lose situation for us. Because I be trying to tell people, humans need Earth, right? Mm-hmm. We need what the Earth provides us, food, water, breathable air, the gravity, everything. That is what we need from Earth, right? And those are things we can't live without. The Earth don't need us, bro. Earth been here for billions of years while we didn't even exist. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, y'all acting like we just got, you know, a planet to spare. You feel me?
I'm saying, like they said, there have been 9 recorded mass extinctions. Like, this ain't the first species that's populated this planet. Right. Like,
this ain't Mother Earth first rodeo, my boy.
We knew.
Right. Well, Earth said, are we doing this again? And when you look at various mythologies, right? In mm-hmm. every mythology, no matter what it is, Greek, Roman, Mayan, Egyptian, Kemetian, Hindu, everyone displays the Earth as a deity that is alive. It's a mm-hmm. deity. It's a god.
Everyone has Earth deity.
In Rome, you got Mother Gaia. In mm-hmm. Egypt, you got Nu. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's even an Earth goddess in Moana. I don't know her name because I forgot. But
it's Tefiti or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Tefiti.
That was it.
Oh, and that's the Polynesian deity, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, huh?
And so every ideology understood that the life is a living planet. But, well, let me be specific. Let me just keep it a buck. The original mythos understood that these were, because the Romans, sure, they said, mother, they didn't give a fuck about that shit. But your Polynesians, your Kemetics, your Hinduists, as well as your Mayans and et cetera, they understood that the planet was a living being, which is why they tended. That's why these were places you first seen agriculture, right? Mm-hmm. These were people that learned agriculture. They said, oh, okay, she's giving us soil. Let's bear her with some children. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And not even on the Earth standpoint, but to understand that when we're talking about the lower correspondence, that we're talking about this dark paradox or even this hidden secret of nature, right? And on top of that, it helps you understand there are planes that are just beyond our knowing on the basic level. But when we apply the law of correspondence, we're able to understand what would otherwise be unknowable to us, like stuff that we would not be able to grasp on that level. I'll never forget when I watched this episode of Gumball. It's this cartoon that used to come on. And I remember he's like, everything's made of circles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's like, everything's made of circles, which is made of circles, which is made of circles. And awesome. Think about it. Everything in the universe damn near got a shape. It's damn near spherical for the most part. You got planets, you got stars, all them holes around. You go inside, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You got the planets, they round. You go inside the planets, okay? You got humans inside of them. You got most circles. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this principle with this universal application and manifestation on these various planes, they help create a spiritual universe on top of it. Because now you can connect to the things that you thought you could never do. There's been occurrences like, okay, there's like a star attributed to every person that's born. Why do you think there's billions of people on the planet? There's billions of stars, right? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's crazy to think of it because you couldn't, it seems egotistical. There's no star just for me, but there is, homie. You feel me? You can literally track down and locate the star that was birthed the same day you was birthed at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
That's incredible when you think about it in terms of things.
And when you look at the correspondence principle in physics, right, it states that the behavior of systems described by the theory of quantum mechanics reproduces classical physics in a limit of large quantum numbers. So in layman terms, right, it says that for like large orbits and large energies, quantum calculations agree with the classical calculations. So it's telling you the most basic observation of something is also displayed in that same way when you compute it quantumly, right? Mm-hmm. And when they say classic calculations, right, that's their way to try to demean possibly older civilizations. For example, you had people like the Dogon tribe that understood as above, so below at so far back in history, and they never, but then they consider everything they did primal, but take all the knowledge they knew for then, don't yet to understand how they knew this. Because these old methods were probably the best methods. This is why we are still finding out stuff Well, we're not, which is why they're now confirming stuff that was already confirmed millennia ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do try to play like they use the word primal a lot. I hate that word, primal. You know,
savage, like, archaic.
Savage, primitive. Right. It's like, yeah, primitive, bro. Come on now. Just because you don't understand something don't mean that it's primitive. Because obviously if these civilizations was living for thousands of years before we existed, what makes you think that they was just stupid?
I'm saying. They literally came from...
And they doing stuff that we still don't know how to do. Like, come on now.
And the phrase, as above, so below, even was first founded upon the Emerald Tablet. Mm-hmm. So, and this phrase is, I mean, to this current day and age, writers and astrologers use this same phrase every day to explain how the universe works. This is your building block of the universe, right? Your building block of the universe is it's your building block inside your body. This correspondence, you are connected to the thing. So this is why when you're in tune with yourself and your body, you are now easier to connect with these other entities and other, you know what I'm saying? These other objects and things, right? This is how mm-hmm. people, okay, you correlate, you can respond with the moon, you can talk to the sun, you can talk to the planets, right? You can actually use your astrology. You can be like, okay, my Jupiter here, let me embody that energy if I need it. Or instead of having to wait for something to come in your cycle or whatever, you can call in the energy when you need it. You feel what I'm saying? As above, mm-hmm. so below. Right?
Yeah.
And we attribute this so much and don't realize it. Astrology itself is nothing but as above, so below. People attribute themselves to the whole thing of the planets and will not believe this concept and then not realize that this has the same effects on you down here. People be like, oh, my retrograde is like this, so I'm going to be acting like this. First of all, anyone that's phrasing like that doesn't know what they're talking about. Because if anything, when you know that you're going through a retrograde or whatever, that should show you what the it's one of infinite possibilities of what could happen if you aren't in tune. You feel me? But mm-hmm. once in tune, now you can control that energy. As above, so below. You could be like, this is an outcome, but it's not the final probability, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of people use astrology as almost an excuse. I'm like, bro, it's supposed to be used as a guide. Like, you don't look at this and it's like, oh, man, my life sucks because of this. Oh, man, I do this because of this. Like, no, bro. This is showing you, okay, you have almost like a template, really. And even then, I'm not going to say that everybody is just concrete, set in stone, what you got to be, because you can be whatever you want to be. You feel me? But it's something that if you look at it and it's like, you know what, I can take away from this. You know, this is similar for me. It's almost like, what's the phrase? When you eat the meat and leave the bones.
Eat the meat, spit out the bones.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you also have, like, when scientists first started observing galaxies, once they really had, you know, I guess you could say modern telescopes. One thing one of the first things they found was that our solar system looked very similar to the structure of an atom. You got mm-hmm. things rotating, you know what I'm saying, in an elliptical orbit. Literally, the same type of orbit that we say the planets in our solar system rotate around the sun. Elliptical, right?
Mm-hmm. Most of the matter. Oh, what about to say?
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say the same structure. You know, most of the matter of the atom is located in the center, most of the energy in the center, and then smaller, let's call it pieces or structures rotate around that same orbit. And it's like the same plan how a sun and our solar system reacts with one another. So,
right, because the electron has the least amount of mass, right? Mm-hmm. Which is furthest away from the center on top of it being negatively charged. It all corresponds to it. So what's funny to me is how modern day scientists have just recited the words of the ancient in a different phrase. Now we think that we can understand it. When it was in you all along, literally. Yeah, you feel me?
It's all about credit. They want to feel like they discovered something new.
And the as above, so below points to the connectivity of the worlds itself. And that's saying that man is an unfinished world that only that mirrors its cosmos. You know what I'm saying? That's why even in lots of religious texts, they tell you to look upward. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? That's what they tell you. That's why you also see so many pictures of people pointing up. We thought they were referring to God. They were just talking about you. Like, mm-hmm. yo, nah, that me right there. You feel me?
Bro, that's what I be trying to tell people when, you know, people always like to personify God, you know, and they try to make it seem as if God is something that lies outside of all of us. And I be telling people, I was like, bro, I can say I am God because I am God. You are God. We are God. Everyone is God. God is the collective. God is everyone. So if you want to sit there and say, oh, God is this man that I have to go towards, it's like, bro, you don't have to go towards anything. You don't have to do anything. That's why I don't like religion. I'm like, there's no rules that you have to do to be God. You were born God. You know what I'm saying? Right. It is within you. The power is inherently within you. You just got to go find it. You got to tap into it.
Even if you are religious, I feel like the religious don't even understand what they're reading because they don't. And okay, the whole book, the Bible says you are created in God's image.
You're created.
Literally that.
So if you then can find, so to say you're not a star, literally contradicts everything you said. If a microscope can say, yo, your atoms have the same thing the solar system has. The elements in your body are the same elements within a star. So if God created you in this image, that means you too are a star, or you too are this X, Y, Z. It's as above, so below also shows you your, like I said, the connectivity between your world and other worlds. Because now you realize, okay, I'm also this plant, but I'm also this nebula. Yeah, feel me? And then you're like, okay, I might be the puddle of water, but I'm also this sun. And it's because you are all at the same time. Like the elements in the star, you have hydrogen, gold, nickel. I said hydrogen? Yeah. You're all those things. But you literally have those same amount of things within you as well. So, which is why I say, okay, you a star, you need to be eating what stars eat. Not like 100%, but like if a star is like partially gold, convert that junk. That's how much gold you need to be intaking on some literal shit. Same thing with silver, nickel, hydrogen, water, etc. You know what I'm saying? Oxygen, all that.
Bro, the fact that it's one of the elements that composes our body. I forgot. I want to say it's iron. But I think only true iron can be formed from the explosion that happens from a star, right? Mm-hmm. So some element. I'm probably not talking about the right one, but just look it up. But an element that can only be found from the explosion of a star, right? And it's in our bodies, which tells us that there is no possible way that we don't come from stars at some point billions of years in the past, right? And so even if you were to think about time, not as this linear structure, but as something that exists in all space at once, like some fourth dimension type stuff, then that point exists at the same time as this current point does. So even now, when we look at the universe as being this vast object that we have no connection to, we have connections to it right now. You feel me? This is literally how this corresponds to each other, even though they're on two completely different scales. That's the way I look at it. I look at everything being this one, almost as if, take a picture of ice cream cone, right? And then have it to where the tip of the cone is on the bottom. You feel me?
Okay.
And you know how the diameter of every circle from the cross section expands as you increase in height, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that one point where it's nothing. And then from there, it's a little bit of something. But that little bit of something is the same ratio as the very top of the cone where the opening is. You feel me? Even though that diameter is probably 10, 15 times larger. Now, if you just picture that on an infinite scale, then I feel like that's where all of reality lies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Don, you were right, by the way. The heaviest elements like iron have only formed in the massive superstars that end in supernova explosions. Yeah.
Insane, bro.
And I also wanted to make another statement in regards to that, because it's in your face. it's like you trying to find, it's like how people try to understand their place in the universe but not realize that you are too the universe. And everybody is so fascinated with, well, let's just get one thing straight, because people always, if as above so below exists, let's just keep shit a buck 50 with how we know the origin of the earth works. You know, the first people were melanated individuals. Why you think majority of what we call space is roughly 79.9% dark matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dark matter is something they haven't been able to understand just yet. they still say they don't understand with it after been studying it for 60 plus years, right? And if you want to look at science, there's one thing that they have yet to understand and complete, which is melanin. They call melanin the black in DNA. Though they understand a few of its capabilities, they do not understand all of it. And so let's relate some of this dark matter principle to melanin so we can understand. Because I want to bring this up because I left my old job recently. And before I had my last day, I had a conversation with a coworker about the power of melanin. And she was talking about black folk need sunscreen. And I said, no, you don't. I said, you're already vitamin D deficient. And I don't think she know what that meant. Because she kept trying to justify the use of sunscreen to protect you from the sun. And I said, no, that's melanin's act. That's one of its many purposes. She said, then explain black people that get skin cancer. I said, they melanin dead. Shit. Or they ain't got a lot of it. Let's just keep that shit a buck 50. And so if you want to think of dark matter that same way, we know dark matter had, we know melanin has, they found out, well, they confirmed or reconfirmed that it has electromagnetic capabilities. This is why in dark matter, within it, they found antimatter. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Within dark matter, they found antimatter, the opposite of matter, which is why when you see, when black hole forms, black holes don't necessarily form from the collapsing star, but the dark matter that seeps in with through the star before it blows up or as it's dying, right? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they don't even come from a dying star. They might just open up in the middle. You know what I'm saying? It just opened up through the dark matter itself. And on top of that, you have to know that the black hole exists on all dimensional planes in a way. Because all the images of a black hole, it looks almost 2D in space. And we know space is damn near 4D. You feel what I'm saying? But every image of the black hole, at least that they have been able to render, looks two-dimensional, yet it's a rift in time itself, where time doesn't exist, space doesn't exist, et cetera, right? How do we know this isn't the gateway through the ethereal realm and or the astral realm? What if we're in the black hole itself, right? And I make that statement into the as above, so below, because, okay, maybe that is the universe's self of correcting or universe's actual way of reaching a higher status, which would reinstate. This is just a theory. This isn't like that.
It's kind of like looking at a snake. You know, in order for a snake to grow, it has to shed its skin.
Literally, you feel me? Yeah, that's the theory I'm trying to get at. Because don't take anything I'm saying full fledged. This is just an ongoing theory, but if everything is as above, so below, that means the black holes in space have a purpose for the universe. You know what I'm saying? Either a way of cleansing itself or elevating itself or accessing things that the universe on this 4D plane cannot fathom, because the black hole exists on all planes. You know what I'm saying? Same way when you do a or have a psychedelic trip and or a or you just out of astral projection, you exist on those planes as well. You feel what I'm saying?
I kind of think of it as the fact that all living organisms have some way of excreting, you know, waste. You feel me? Getting rid of waste and toxins within the body. You feel me? And if you look at black holes kind of being that way of waste removal, but on a universal level, then that will point to it existing more so as a living organism than kind of as this space or plane, you feel me?
But then you have the question, is it waste that is getting rid of? Like, what is this purpose? What if it's not?
That's also true.
Because there's also the theory, and I know we sound like a bunch of nerds right now if you're listening, but it's the understanding of the universe. I mean, you click the video. But if you want to think about it, I've also, the theory is that let's keep it broad. Everything that we know about the universe to this day is just African spiritualism in its simplest form. Everything you can find from the Yoruba tribe to the Dogon tribe and et cetera is the same concepts of the universe that scientists are exploring today. Right? There are even layers of our atmosphere that were displayed. Is like, most people don't even know there's a layer after the What's that junk called that's being destroyed right now? With the ozone layer. Yeah, that thing. Mm-hmm. So after the ozone layer, there's this sphere called the magnetosphere, which is something you never hear about in school. Like when you learn about the little layers of the planet or whatever, you just hear like ozone, the next layer, and then exosphere. But you never hear about the magnetosphere, which lies between that.
And then you leave and go to watch X-Men and hear Magneto. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Right. But the magnetosphere, funny enough, is where a lot of electromagnetic energy, that's the real spot that protects you from solar rays and solar everything. It's not the ozone layer, the magnetosphere, because it's able to convert that stuff into energy, which is what keeps you from burning up. This is where most religions got their theory of hell from. Hell was nowhere down. It was when you enter the Duat, which is through the stars, right?
And you burn on entry?
Well, you don't burn on entry, but if you don't know how to leave from the Duat, which where the idea of the feather of Maat comes from, right? Your heart has to be less than the feather. Can you leave your otherworldly possessions down? Because in every religion, they talked about going north. So if we're going to speak directly on African and South American pantheons and Hindu and all that, they talk about going north through the stars, which is going through the constellations. I forget which one specifically. It might be Orion. And you would go through the Duat, where the magnetosphere lies. And they already had in this book I'm still reading a year later, called the Isis Thesis. It dives in that specifically about how they had these things in detail representing the magnetosphere and all the same capabilities represented. It was simply just pictures, my nigga. And when you go to the Duat, if you weren't able to leave your otherworldly possessions behind, or your height wasn't as light as a feather, or if you couldn't leave your ego behind in that reality, you would get trapped in the Duat. And this would be considered hell, right? Because another thing, people talk about the underworld, but they also forget that the map that most our ancestors drew was meant to be looked at backwards. I mean, not backwards, but upside down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if as above, so below works, the underworld is just the sky. You're right.
Very true.
In that essence. Therefore, the underworld was the Duat. And if you couldn't make it through the Duat, you weren't able to reach what we call heaven or Ra or that. You know what I'm saying? This is what the River Six came from, the Duat. Could you swim through the Duat? Could you make it through there? But if you couldn't, you get what? You turn into a monster or whatever, right? And so you got stuck in that aspect. But if you can make it out, okay, now you are actual free spirit. You are maybe one with the stars. You might, you know what I'm saying? Or hell is that Duat itself. And I encourage everyone listening to read up on the Duat and its correlations to other mythos. And look up the magnetosphere, because it's a very interesting. What this layer of the planet does is funny why it's never talked about. Because it's really what protects you from what we call the stuff we talk about, you know what I'm saying, on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, law of correspondence.
I was just thinking about that, man. Like, so it's a lot, these theories, but I mean, it's actually not so complicated when you think about it.
You think about it in the context of the law of correspondence, nothing is ever complicated. Everything is actually as simple as possible.
I'm saying, like, it makes the world just a lot smaller when you think of everything, you know, is a reflection of a greater scheme.
For a biologist to not understand the universe means you don't understand biology, is how I'm going to look at it. If you understand what's going on inside the body, you understand what's happening on the universal level, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same process. But on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. You guys know the drill.
So if you haven't already, tune into our Mentalism episode 1, and also our and other media videos. Thank you.
For sure.
So with that being said,
like an ad, boy.
You got to, but I gotta know about that.
Like he's out of that little baby commercial. Tune in, guys.
Oh God.
All right, peace.
Bro, that's always hilarious.
Yeah,
you guys know the drill.
Yes, sir. From men to kings.
And from kings to gods.
This has been Fresh Bear Entertainment. Peace, family.
And we outie.
Sure.